Masechet Olah, Perek Beis, Mishnah Vav, until Perek Beis, Mishnah Tes. In general, if truma food is mixed together with chulin food, if the mixture is yovesh b'yovesh, where both foods are solid and dry foods, then in order for the truma to be nullified in the mixture, and for the mixture to be permitted for non-kohanim, there must be at least 100 times more chulin than truma. And when it comes to oil or kilea kerem, which are forbidden for everybody and it's forbidden to even benefit from them, so if oil or produce is mixed together with chulin produce, and again it's yovish b'yovish, they're both solid dry foods, so in that case the oil is only nullified and the mixture will be only permitted if there is 200 more times chulin than oil or kilea kerem. Now, we saw 2 Mishnayos ago an exception to this, that if the effect of the forbidden food is recognizable in the mixture, for example, if it's a spice or if it causes the rest of the mixture to rise, then even if it's less than 1/100th or 1/200th of the mixture, the entire mixture will still be forbidden, since it is being affected in a big way by the forbidden item. Now, the following Mishnah will clarify when exactly that applies. And in what case did the Chachamim say that if the forbidden food causes the mixture to rise, or if the forbidden food was a spice, then it would make the truma mixture into a meduma? That's when truma and chulin are mixed together and the truma is not nullified. And as we explained, the same would apply to orla and klei kerem, that even if the orla and klei kerem is less than 1/200th of the entire mixture, if its effect is recognized, then it would be forbidden. But when exactly does that apply, lahachmer, to be strict? When do we say this strict halacha? That's only min b'minoy, when the two foods which are mixed together are the same type of food. And the Mishnah will give an example of that in a moment. However, lahokel ulahachmer, to be lenient and to be strict, meaning in what case do we not always apply this rule, that is min b'she'eino minoy, if the forbidden food is a different type of food to the permitted food. And we'll give an example of that in the following Mishnah. But for now, we're going back to the first part, where you've got two of the same kinds of food, ketzad. What would be an example of that case? So, oshal chitim shenofal seich isas chitim. Truma sourdough made out of wheat, which fell into chulin dough, also made out of wheat. The yeshbo gdel chametz and the truma sourdough is enough to make the chulin dough rise. So, ben she yeshbo dalis bechadumeya, ben she ein dalis bechadumeya, whether there's enough chulin to nullify the truma. 1 in 100, so whether there's 100 times more chulin than truma or not, nevertheless, also will be forbidden, because the effect of the truma is recognizable. And of course, ein be'lalus be'chadumeya, if there isn't enough chulin to nullify the truma 1 in 100, bein she'yesh bo kdei lechametz, bein she'ein bo kdei lechametz, whether the truma is enough to cause the chulin to rise or not, also will be forbidden. So in that case, even if the truma's effect is not felt, it's not recognizable, that will make a difference, because here, of course, there isn't 100 times more chulin than truma, so the truma will always be forbidden. Mishnah Zayin, now we see a case, lahokel ulahachmer, was sometimes lenient and was sometimes strict, min b'she'eino minoy, if the forbidden food item is different to the chulin food in the mixture. And here we come to a very important law with regards to taruvus, mixtures of forbidden food with permitted food. The concept of truma being nullified in 100 times more chulin, as we explained at the beginning of this perek, is learnt from when the Torah talks about trumas maisa. Trumas maisa is 1/100th of the original produce, and the Torah implies that if the trumas maisa falls back into the original mixture, then the entire mixture is forbidden. Now, if trumas maisa is 1/100th of the mixture, that means it's falling into another 99 permitted units, and that's forbidden, which implies that if it was mixed with more permitted units, namely 1 in another 100 permitted units, for example, chulin, then the trumas maisa would be nullified, and the same goes for other truma as well. And then we extended the idea to orla and klei kerem, and because orla and klei kerem are forbidden even to benefit from, so there's an added prohibition. So whereas truma is nullified 1 in 100 chulin, orla and klei kerem are nullified 1 in 200. Now, when trumas maisa is separated from its original produce, and then it falls back to its original produce, so in that case, certainly the trumas maisa and the rest of the produce is the same type of food. And we learn from there that the rule of food being nullified 1 in 100 or 1 in 200 only applies min b'minoy, in a case where the forbidden item and the permitted item are the same type of food. However, if it's different types of food, well, that's not the case which the Torah was talking about. And so this 1 in 100, 1 in 200 is not applicable at all over there, if it's min b'she'eino minoy. And therefore, in a case of min b'she'eino minoy, it just depends on whether the taste of the forbidden item is given over to the rest of the mixture. So says the Mishnah, ketzad ha'osok, gengirisim shenespashlim adoshim. For example, crushed beans which were cooked together with lentils. So you've got truma crushed beans and chulin lentils. So we don't look at whether there's 100 times more lentils vegetables than group than beans, because it's min b'she'eino minoi. They're two different types of food, and therefore we look at the taste for yesh b'hem b'nesim tam. If the truma beans give off their taste to the lentils, then bein she'yesh b'hem la'alis b'echad u'meyo, bein she'ein b'hem la'alis b'echad u'meyo, whether there's enough chulin to nullify the truma 1 in 100 or not, osur, it's forbidden because the chulin gets the taste of the truma. On the other hand, if the chulin does not gain the taste of the truma beans, then again, whether there's 1 in 100 or not is irrelevant. Whether there is enough chulin to nullify the truma 1 in 100 or not, mutter, it will be permitted since the taste is not given. So it emerges as follows. If you recall, there are two main categories of taruvus, of mixtures. One is called yovish b'yovish, where solid foods are mixed together. And the other category is lach b'lach, if two liquids are mixed together, or even two solids, which give off their taste to each other. Now, the only time where the concept of nullifying 1 in 100 or 1 in 200 applies is in a case of yovish b'yovish, where it's two solid foods, and as well as that, it's min b'minoi. It's the same two types of foods as well. But if it's min b'she'eino minoi or lach b'lach, then instead of following 1 in 100 or 1 in 200, it rather depends on whether the taste of the forbidden item is given off to the rest of the mixture. Mishlaches, what happens if se'or shel chulin shenofal l'seich issa, if chulin sourdough falls into other chulin dough, sourdough is used to make the other dough rise, v'yesh bo g'dei l'chametz, and there's enough of this chulin sourdough to make the rest of the dough rise. However, before the dough rises, v'achar kach nofal se'or shel truma. After that, truma sourdough falls into the mixture as well. Falls into the dough, a social klei kerem, or if klei kerem sourdough were to fall into this chulin dough, and the same would apply to orla. And once again, v'yesh bo g'dei l'chametz, there's enough truma sourdough or klei kerem sourdough in itself to make the whole chulin dough rise, even without the chulin sourdough. Says the Mishnah, osur, the whole dough is considered forbidden, and in the case of truma, it's just forbidden for non-kohanim. The reason being that although there was enough chulin sourdough to make the dough rise, so had the forbidden sourdough not been added, the dough still would have risen. So you might be able to argue that the forbidden sourdough was not the cause of the rising. However, we don't say that, rather the mixture, the dough, is considered forbidden, because at the end of the day, the forbidden sourdough did contribute to the rising, since it had not yet risen when the forbidden sourdough was added, and since there was enough of the forbidden sourdough to make the entire dough rise, and that also caused the dough to rise much faster, and so the dough is considered to have been risen by forbidden sourdough, and therefore it's forbidden. Mishnah test. Now, what happens if se'or shel chulin shenofal l'seich issa, chulin sourdough fell into chulin dough, the chimtza, and it actually did cause the dough to rise, and the chulin dough had already risen, and only then, v'achar kach, and after that, nofal se'or shel truma. Then truma sourdough fell into the dough, or se'or shel klei kerem, or klei kerem sourdough, v'yesh bo g'dei l'chametz, and the truma or the klei kerem sourdough would have been enough to cause the entire dough to rise. But in this case, the dough already rose before the forbidden sourdough was added. So in this case, it's a machlokes. According to the Tanakama, even in this case, osur, the entire dough becomes forbidden. And the reason for the Tanakama is that although it's already risen, by adding more sourdough, you'll cause the dough to rise even more. And although in general you don't want dough to rise even more, because it makes that dough itself not so tasty, and possibly even inedible, nevertheless, because it will now contain so much sourdough, the dough can be used to make other dough rise. You could take parts of this dough and add it to other pieces of dough, causing the other pieces of dough to rise. So it comes out that you adding the sourdough of truma to the dough which already rose still affects it in a recognizable way. And therefore the dough is forbidden. However, Rabbi Shimon Mater, in this case Rabbi Shimon permits the dough, and this is because of a very important principle known as Noisin Tam Lifgam. Noisin Tam Lifgam means that the taste which is given off from the forbidden item is something which is negative and damaging for the rest of the mixture. And in this case, if you look at the dough itself, by adding more sourdough to this dough, that actually damages this dough itself. You won't be able to eat this dough. It's true you can start taking it and adding it to other doughs, but fact is you've damaged this dough by adding the taste. And the halacha is that even if it does give off a taste, if that taste is a pagam taste, if it's one which damages the rest of the mixture, then it does not forbid the rest of the mixture. Now, if that's the case, the question is, why doesn't Rabbi Shimon argue in the previous Mishnah? In the previous Mishnah, there was also double the amount of sourdough added, which means that the dough will also become too sour and not so edible by adding the forbidden sourdough. So surely in that case, Rabbi Shimon should also hold that the dough should be permitted. So the Baruch Tanura answers that in the previous Mishnah, since when you added the truma sourdough, the dough hadn't yet risen, so the initial effect of the truma sourdough was actually a positive effect, because first it caused the dough to rise to its optimal level. And it's true that after that it then got worse and it had too much sourdough in, but it also caused the positive effect. And in fact, when it was added, the positive effect was the first thing which happened, and therefore it is not considered a nosin tam nifgam case, and as such the dough will be forbidden, because the truma sourdough in that case did give off a positive taste to the rest of the mixture.